Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus teaches in a parable, or perhaps what we might simply call an illustrative story. Doesn't really matter what you call it, Jesus' teaching is what's important. And this teaching is connected with what you have been hearing for the last several weeks, maybe even months. Jesus has called sinners to repentance. He has even welcomed sinners and eaten with them. When those who were critical of Jesus for reaching out to such sinners, Jesus again brings home the importance of the life of repentance, foretelling that indeed there is joy in heaven over each and every sinner who repents. Jesus showed the importance and how this repentance comes to pass in the three stories that were just before this, two of which you heard last week as you listened to Jesus teaching in parables of a lost sheep, a lost coin, and yes, even the story that we have skipped over, that of the lost son. Repentance is God's work. It is God who calls, it is God who gathers, it is God who restores. It is God who forgives, it is God who grants eternal life. The importance of this teaching of Jesus is found in this story which Jesus sets before those who would hear his word. You know it as the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And Jesus' teaching about the importance of what happens in this life of repentance is shown by what happens in the story. There are two men, just like there are in the world, those who live the life of faith and those who do not. Those who in repentance come to Christ and those who in pride and arrogance remain separated from him. There are two men. And in Jesus' story, one spends eternity apart from God in the suffering that Jesus describes in this story. Flames, torture, it is not the place to spend eternity. On the other hand, there is Lazarus. He spends eternity in the bosom of Abraham. Throughout the scriptures, the bosom is the place of love and care. Jesus uses this perhaps because for the Israelites, Abraham is considered their father, and those who are the children of Abraham are those who are God's people. And so Jesus uses this imagery of the bosom of Abraham simply to describe the glory of eternal life. One in Hades, suffering, the other in the bosom of Abraham, comforted and at peace. It's really quite an easy choice for you, isn't it? Which would you rather be? Where would you rather spend eternity? There really isn't any choice. But one must recognize in the teaching of Jesus, and the very point of this parable is it is not going to be determined where you spend eternity after this life. Your eternal dwelling place is determined by what happens in this life. For you see, most of you would trade places with these two men, wouldn't you, based on their in this life experiences? Wouldn't you rather trade the place with the one who feasts sumptuously and dresses in fine clothing every single day? The description that Jesus gives here of feasting sumptuously is the exact same word that Jesus used to describe the feast that was held by the Father when his departed son came home. As his father rejoices and says, "My son who was dead is alive again." This was a sumptuous feast of great joy. And yet, this rich man dines this way every single day. The extravagance of his life, Jesus could not exaggerate anymore. What's worse is that this man, despite his wealth and possessions, has no mercy on those around him. His wealth is simply used for his own pleasure and his own benefit. Jesus has warned in his teaching about being lovers of money. In fact, in today's epistle lesson, Jesus warns that bishops or overseers and deacons must not be lovers of money. But these words apply to all Christians. For you heard Jesus. You cannot love both God and man. This story of Jesus certainly should serve as a reminder to you of the life of repentance you as a child of God are called to live. To use the blessings that God has bestowed upon you. Yes, as he intended, for your benefit. To receive these blessings, whether they are grand and glorious or whether they are at a minimum, as his providing of your daily bread. To be thankful for these things, but also to use them for the benefit of one's neighbor. Certainly in Jesus' story here, there is condemnation brought upon this man for his failure to see and to react to the needs, especially of this one man, Lazarus, who is laid at his door. The description that Jesus gives of this man is grotesque. And again, which of you would trade places with poor Lazarus? Which of you would love to be described as being covered with sores, to be laid as a beggar at the door of this rich man because your family, your friends, and others could no longer care for you, simply hoping that somebody would take care of you? Perhaps, as Jesus even describes, poor Lazarus, longing for just the scraps that might fall from the rich man's table. No, as you hear Jesus' description, you would say, no, I would really rather not be found in that place. And yet, when you consider the eternal consequences of these two men's lives, that is the place to be. To be the poor, miserable beggar laid at the rich man's door. A place, indeed, from whence there is eternal life. Let us be clear. It is not because Lazarus did anything other than receive mercy that Jesus, in his story, shows us that he receives eternal life and eternal comfort and eternal peace. Quite to the contrary. There is a connection to the actions and the behaviors of the rich man, who is selfish and conceited and seeks only the glory of this life. In fact, the very contrast to Lazarus is that he shows absolutely no mercy to those around him. Jesus calls for repentance. As you recognize this, as you see yourself as one who also, like the rich man, must repent for your failure to appreciate the gifts that God has given and to use them in a God-pleasing way, both in thankfulness for what God has done for you and in showing mercy to your neighbor, you come as a poor, miserable sinner. Standing before God, you have only one thing to plead: mercy. And now is the day of mercy. In fact, that's Jesus' whole point as he continues in his story. The rich man who is suffering in Hades seeks relief even for a moment with a drop of water from Lazarus' finger so that he could cool the suffering and burning. When this cannot be done, then the rich man who showed no mercy in life suddenly becomes merciful. How strange that there in Hades he wants to be merciful and think of the needs of others. So he says, then send Lazarus back to my home and to my five brothers so that they won't come to this same place. But Abraham says that's not possible. No one can go from here to there and no one can come from there to here. You already heard that. But the rich man continues, but if someone would rise from the dead, then they would listen. No, Abraham says, they have Moses and the prophets. And if they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, then they will not believe even if someone should rise from the dead. Dear child of God, someone has been raised from the dead. It is Jesus Christ, your Savior. Jesus Christ, who willfully took upon human flesh, willingly took into that flesh your sins and your death and bore them at the cross. He has triumphed by his resurrection over death and the grave. And now he freely gives you forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. He has been raised from the dead, and now he comes to you through the word of Moses and the prophets and the apostles. And in the word that is preached, God the Holy Spirit has drawn you to Christ to plead for his mercy. And in that very word of Moses, the prophets, and the apostles, he has bestowed upon you his grace and his mercy. You plead for a drop of water to cool your burning tongue, but instead, God gives you the water that quenches not only eternal suffering, but the water that gives eternal life in the waters of holy baptism. Laid upon you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, God in his mercy has given you forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. In the story, Lazarus would have been content simply to have the scraps from the rich man's table. As a beggar seeking the mercy of God, he casts no scraps to you who are laid at his doorstep. But instead, this merciful and loving God welcomes you to the banquet table where something far more lavish than simply an earthly feast is laid. And there is far more than sumptuous food and lavish clothing. But instead, your heavenly Father invites you to the wedding banquet of his Son. And there, not scraps, but the very body and blood of Christ is given to you to eat and to drink with this promise for the forgiveness of your sins and everlasting life. Jesus' story is a graphic one. It shows the importance of what must be done in this life to be prepared for eternity. God has called you by his gospel. He has baptized you into his holy name. He has given you Moses and the prophets and the word of the apostles. He has fed you in this life with the very body and blood of Christ. So rest assured, dear child of God, you may live your life as a recipient of God's mercy and being merciful towards those around you. But also find comfort. Because of what God has done for you in showing you mercy in Christ, rest assured, you too will be welcomed into the bosom of Abraham, where you will live in glory and peace. You already have it now, and it will be yours forevermore. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.